Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey guys, welcome back in to another episode of the Out of Our Minds podcast. Welcome back. It feels like Bella and I have been off of work for 5 months, but we literally took 1 week off.
1 week off recording.
That was it. Yeah, because we double recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I had family in town for a week, and now Bella has family in town for a week. And we were just having conversations about feeling like you take on other people's energy, feeling a little bit out of alignment, and how we can begin to navigate those moments of just feeling a little bit disconnected from your power, from a higher state of consciousness. And I was on a walk yesterday and I voiced noted Bella and I'm like, I really want to talk about this topic because I feel like there's so much we can dive into here with having really deep levels of compassion towards yourself and having like your first instinct when you're going through a time of just feeling like, ooh, I'm feeling like there's a bit of energy circulating in my vessel, or I'm having this experience that maybe in the past I would deem as something negative. How can we begin to navigate that from this lens of like, okay, this is happening. Now, how can I begin to be with it from this state of love over fear? And this topic is so powerful to dive into because it's through this awareness that we create new tendencies of how we respond to those moments in life. And maybe in the past, a moment like this would pop up and we were quick to go down the shame cycle of like, I'm not doing enough. Why didn't I do this? Da, 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 da. But now we get to view it from this lens of love and higher state of awareness of understanding that we are the being that stays the same the entire time. Mm. We are the power, the observer, the one that stays neutral. And the experience we have is like a storm passing over the sea. It's like clouds passing over a piece of land and shading one of the areas. The land doesn't change. It's just the passing experience of a cloud. Mm-hmm. So this is the topic we're going to be diving into today. We have a lot to discuss because we also want to bring in these beautiful teachings that we dove into with Sarah Zula on our last Omi's Oasis workshop, which was this past Sunday, and it was freaking powerful. Like,
it was insane.
It was a really, really powerful healing experience for everyone that was there and then everyone that's going to watch the rerun in the workshop portal. But we're going to tie in some lessons and teachings that she brought to the workshop in regards to dissolving problems and the formula of what makes a problem. And we'll get into that later, but you guys will have a really tangible thing to walk away from after listening to this episode in regards to dissolving problems in your own life. So that's a little bit of an intro. Now let's dive into it. Where do you want to start with all this?
I mean, when you shared that with me yesterday, which specifically what you were sharing was, yeah, just said this idea of like, you know, not over-identifying with the bad days, not making a whole entire identity out of the things that happen to you, and to basically really understand from a higher perspective, from a higher state of consciousness, what it quote unquote means to ebb and flow and to have off days and just to like be experiencing the human experience, because it's one that is fraught with waves and all the crazy things. And what I immediately thought of was, it really brought me back to, I spent many years engulfed in Zen teachings, and really when I had my spiritual awakening, I was reading Zen books and listening to Zen lectures, and it really built the foundation of how I was able to really move past like the typical attachments of life. And it was inspiring because it kind of brought me back to those very powerful, timeless reminders about just the beauty of non-attachment and being the observer, but not the absorber of things that happen to you. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's those moments that you realize all the things that you've been learning and studying and awakening to, like they're meant to be practiced and lived in those moments. And I'm excited to talk about this because I feel like part of why both of us are able to live lives that are just, we feel generally peaceful and happy and just, we're just like good with life in general, even when shit happens. And it's not like we have these quote unquote perfect lives or whatever, but they become quote unquote perfect because we realize that, you know, it is all in the now. And all these ideas that you hear ad nauseum of like the power of now and the present moment, et cetera, it's like there's actually a really deep truth to those and a very deep way to integrate those that help you to not attach to things and really unhook your sense of self and identity from the transient nature of life. So later I would love to read some quotes from this book that completely changed my life, which is The Way of Zen, Alan Watts. And there's just these teachings that give me chills every time because they are so foundational to no matter what, like, you know, form of spirituality you identify with or how you look at life, it always reminds you about what it's all about. Like it points to the actual thing itself that we're all seeking, which is this sort of illusory enlightenment, happiness, peace. Like what actually is that? And for me, anytime that I'm having a quote unquote bad day, it's like, I can't remember the last time other than like many, many years ago when I was like, God, today was a bad day. Like I haven't had that thought cross my mind because of that idea of just being in the whatever is happening right now and seeing life as it is. And there's a time and place to know when to go deep into it, when to do like the analysis of what's happening and when to just like literally let life happen and be the calm, conscious observer of it. And that's where you let the emotions pass through and you feel them and you're not then labeling yourself as anxious. You're just a human being having a happening go through you. And so I feel like it's just been really beautiful to even, you kind of start to be thankful for the storms that happen because they always remind you of the most powerful lessons and presence and what enlightenment really is, which is happening in this exact moment in front of you. And you can't, you know, force it or contrive it. So I'm excited to like dive into this more just because it's something that I had feel like a phase of my life where I transitioned out of that victimhood mentality and that idea of having good and bad days and just started the chapter of my life that was like, this is it. You're here.
Yeah.
Like now do whatever you want to do, you know?
That's really beautiful. When you read that book, I'm like curious because I can think back to like books and I'm like, damn, that book fucking changed me. When you think back to reading that book, like what was the big change that you experienced?
Well, I just remember I was having this kind of really cool cycle of, it's like that feeling of revelation. You know this so well because this is one of your, I think, biggest gifts is like this desire for revelation. So when they hit, they feel so good. But I was just having these cycles of, it's just the lens on life completely changes. And I remember I have these vivid memories of being in LA and sitting on the beach and reading alone and just really feeling in my bones what it meant to observe and not label it. And I was just actually seeing existence without words. And because so many, the kind of like illness of the West, if you will, is this over-identification with labels and words and boxing things. And we think talking about life is living life, and it's just not. And it's like, you can never, ever properly use words or, you know, a conversation to actually get what it is. It's going to happen in sort of this unseen inner experience that, yes, is facilitated by words, but ultimately the thing you're feeling is right now and you cannot force it. That's like the most fascinating thing about it, is it's a sudden awakening to what life really is. And I just remember feeling like I could see more clearly, and I just understood that everything around me, yes, I can call that a computer and I can call this a couch, but those are all really just a watered down, like labeled form of higher intelligence and like the oneness. And it's weird. It's like when you start to explain it, it like loses its flavor because it's just such an inward experience. But I just remember basically going from being hyper attached to life and to things and being enmeshed with like even family or drama or this and that, to being like, this is just what it is. Like even looking at the concept of evil and just not being so tethered to it and not being so like about things, you know? And yes, that still happens right. to me today. Like we're all in that constant remembering, forgetting process. But I do think it basically installed a new software that turned into a hardware of like that, what you would describe as like a Zen view of life and very deep detachment, which is very powerful.
Wow. I'm visualizing you almost just beginning to float above things as opposed to being so immersed in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. It's very, it's peaceful, but it's also like exciting in a way because you feel like you lifted the veil on something that you didn't realize the veil was there. And the discovery of that veil is very cool because then you realize you can discard it and you can be with life in a way that you just never were before. And it's so beautiful. I'm actually feeling really inspired to reread a lot of these books on Zen and stuff, just especially for me because reading is so integral to how I like learn and experience life. But then that feeling of when you're ready to close the book and experience it, like I just love that feeling. And I feel like you can never, sometimes you need the reminders, like you get so in the weeds of life that you're like, it's time to pull out a little bit.
Yeah, those are like the foundational teachings.
Yes, exactly. They're the foundation, exactly. Like that's, they are like, they set the stage for everything else on top of it. That's why I feel like it makes sense that I had that time of being in the teachings, in the studying, and that it's totally paved the way for how I live life now. It's like totally a part of me because it's really the universal capital T truths that then the storm comes and you're like, I know how to deal with this.
Yes. You pick up new tendencies.
Yes.
Of like how you respond to that.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I feel about Michael Singer's teachings. Mm. Like when I was first going through the first few phases of my awakening of like recognizing that I wasn't my thoughts, those teachings gave me that sense of like, I had the same experience of being on a beach in LA. Peter and I were sitting in little beach folding chairs and we had just moved to LA. And I think I've shared the story before, but I started reading The Untethered Soul and I opened that book and read the first chapter and literally felt myself detach from the thoughts of my mind. And
yeah.
It was that same type of sensation of just like floating above it. And I was dealing with a lot of anxiety at that point, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. And all of a sudden I just started to see that that wasn't who I was. Mm. I was the one experiencing it. And mm-hmm. It was the storm passing and yeah. I was able to have that moment of separation. And I actually would be so curious to read that book, the Alan Watts one, mm-hmm. the Zen teachings, mm-hmm. to see how it intertwines with Michael Singer's yeah. teachings, Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it all lives in the same
totally.
Realm.
100%. Yeah, yeah. It's totally like all the same. I feel like that's what I feel like Eastern philosophy is like. I feel like someone would probably argue it's like they're the OG people who kind of figured it out and they were like putting it into, you know, the form of something like Zen or Buddhism or whatever it is. But yeah, you would love it. I think it's cool because it's more like Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, he's for sure, all of those teachings are, I mean, they're universal. Like you don't have to identify them with any label of even Zen, etc. But because it is like formalized and focused, it's cool because you can see that it goes almost even like deeper into, it's like if you read Eckhart Tolle Power of Now and you wanted to go even like a layer deeper of like, where is this even coming from? Like, how can I almost prove this to myself, if you will? That would be like what Zen would provide, is like the even deeper layer of how this philosophy and way of living, you know, is explained to students, or like what is it to live in Zen? And then you'll be like, oh, that's what Eckhart Tolle is talking about. That's what like Michael Singer is. And ultimately we're all channeling the same realizations.
Yeah. That's really powerful. Yeah. I do kind of feel like the foundations were figured out a while ago.
Oh yeah.
Now we're kind of like overcomplicating things. And there's like all these beautiful, simple teachings, like here, Zen teachings, or like, I don't know, all these Eastern philosophies. But it's like, no, our ego wants like the shiny, like pretty teachings that like are all westernized and have like the golden, like the red ribbon on top.
Right. And it's, or like the psychedelic pretty thing. Yes. Like just making
but
it
it's all so simple.
It's so simple. It is. Yeah.
And when it comes to like having these off moments, it is the ability to be with it without the labeling and without the judgment of it that allows it to just be. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are drawn to the workings of like raising your vibration and like manifesting and attracting your desires, which is beautiful. Like that is such a beautiful part of this path. And it's something that I really stand behind, that we're meant to all learn those powers of how to really magnetize those timelines towards us. But you cannot do that without understanding the other end of the spectrum, without understanding how to actually be with the other end of feeling, the quote unquote lower. And I know it can be controversial to talk about vibrations and feelings from a sense of like lower and higher, but I see it as like the way you would describe hot water and cold water. Like it exists, it's there, but one is not better or worse than the other. They just are.
Yeah.
And obviously we have a preference of what feels good to us. Like you get in the shower and you turn on the water, and obviously you're not going to take a fucking steaming hot shower and come out all burnt and be like, what the fuck was that? You have a preference.
I personally like to burn myself in the shower.
I actually do too. The times that like Peter and I will shower together, he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like turn that down.
Yeah. I think all girls do that. They like literally want to melt in the shower. I'm like, I don't know what it is. It just,
Anyway. Oh yeah. I put it on the hottest it can go. But same with emotions. Like there are, I know it's like controversial to say negative and positive, but they just are. Like there are emotions that you are vibrating at a lower frequency, a lower vibration. And to be with that and to understand how to actually be present with that without labeling it as good or bad, and it just is, and to be that vessel that can hold that energy without attaching to those stories and becoming the energy itself is such a powerful practice.
Yeah.
And then I think this is the thing that has allowed me to, as an emotional with my human design, like I'm always having these ups and downs. And in the past, like going through a down, I've talked about this before, but it would last like months. And I would just go into these cycles of self-sabotaging because I'm like, oh, I feel shitty. Like, and then I would just go into this whole world of I feel shitty and do all the things that support me feeling shitty and that make me feel more shitty. But now when I'm experiencing, let's say like I just was with family for a week and maybe I wasn't working in my regular routine and we weren't on our weekly calls, so we weren't tapped into that energy, and I started to pick up energy from other people, I'm very proud of myself because I definitely was not triggered at all the whole week and maintained my peace and my happiness and just presence with my own energy. But then there were parts of me that started to feel a little bit disconnected to like my true, like highest self. And then I realized you're never disconnected from your highest self. You only feel disconnected when you're identifying with the passing experience of feeling off. And you can be a big enough being to feel off and still remember that you are the one observing the energy of offness, and you are the one holding that energy, and you can be a big enough being to be with that frequency and with that vibration and to maintain that connection to who it is you truly are. And that's what I felt really inspired to talk about when I was voice noting you, because in the past it would be me identifying with all these stories and making me feeling off mean something about me. And I know I talk about this so often, but I swear, like, if you can really just let that land, it has such power to change the way that you respond to feeling off. Don't make feeling off mean something about you. Don't make feeling an emotion mean something about you. It's like if the earth were to say every time it rained and there was a thunderstorm, like that were this weak, powerless thing. No, it's still like Mother Gaia. It still remains as this like powerful, beautiful consciousness. And the weather is just a passing experience. and understanding that and really feeling into that when you were like, this is the practice. It's easy to read that when you're in a high vibe and be like, yeah, oh my God, like observe your emotions. Don't drown in them. Don't identify with them. But when you are in the midst of feeling off, like that is where you get to freaking test yourself. Like how present and accepting and non-judgmental can you be of that experience? And you will see as you practice that, your tendency and the way that you respond to those emotions is going to continuously evolve. And what maybe took you 6 months to get back into quote unquote alignment takes you a week or maybe a day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm working my way up.
The timeline is shortening. Yeah. I think what's kind of interesting is it's like, I agree. I think with the whole idea of negative versus positive emotions, or even just let's say good versus bad, is like 100% there's this idea of there's a either a spectrum or duality, or like there are things that in the human experience cause discomfort or literally cause harm, etc. And so there's seeing on kind of like the ground level that yes, like it's possible to feel things that are literally the opposite of joy and happiness. Like we know that they feel different from, let's say, the quote unquote higher vibrational feeling. And I think what the whole point is to see that, like, just because we have this way of labeling and, you know, cognitively understanding an emotion doesn't mean that then if you are feeling that emotion, that makes you the label of it. And so I think this is where people get confused, or like they almost in that route of getting into manifestation and law of attraction that people start to bypass, and they start to actually judge the, again, I'm quoting because I do think at the end of the day, like the ultimate, like holistic perspective is to see that the idea of duality is what makes up the one, which is that there is no up without down and no quote unquote positive without negative. Like we would have no concept of the fact that there is an other without literally seeing like the quote unquote separation. And so the whole point is to see that because you are whole and you are this living consciousness experiencing itself, you're going to experience duality. And so you're going to have days where the happening is feeling quote unquote negative, and your mind is going to say, well, I was this feeling of anger. Again, it's just also something going on in the body that then we've labeled as anger. And like, then we can see, okay, frequency wise vibration, it's denser, it's XYZ. But then the whole point is like, that is just a happening. It turns into a judgment or a bad thing when you say, oh, you should never feel angry. That's bad. Don't feel angry. Like there's something wrong with you, because when you were little, you were shamed for getting mad when you were actually just expressing a boundary. Or like you were really sad and heartbroken in high school and your parents didn't have time to help you through your heartbreak. And so you learned that sadness wasn't acceptable. So it's like that reframing, I think, helps us to see that when we're talking through these things and we're trying to understand ourselves, it's very useful to have the labels. But it's like the ultimate, you know, I like to call it like when you go to bed at night, like at the end of the day perspective, is like both exist because they're meant to be experienced, and you literally cannot have one without the other. And that is why they are both fine. And I would almost challenge to say like the ultimate non-attachment is to even not attach to your happiness and not attach to your, like, you seeking enlightenment. Like that is an attachment of itself. Like to seek nirvana is missing the whole point, because the nirvana is going to happen in the instant moment where you're not seeking it. And that's what can help you to understand, like, just because you're, you know, ascending and you're manifesting and you're attracting yourself to higher vibrational things does not mean that they go away. It's like, this is my favorite Alan Watts quote. I think the top one is that you can't become more sensitive to pleasure without becoming more sensitive to pain. And it's the whole duality thing of like, as you become more tuned into immense levels of joy and happiness and these wonderful, you know, feelings or sensations or experiences, which some of them I think are just our natural state, you also will become very sensitive to the opposite ones. And at the end of the day, it's like ground level, they are quote unquote opposite. Like top level, they are just part of the whole grand pie.
Wait, let's talk about that more, because that is such an important part of this, the sensitivity aspect. We talked about in Sensitivity as a Superpower episode.
I think it's 19.
Number 19, mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
That was a good one. That is so freaking important, because let's reference the manifestation journey again. When you are doing this practice of attuning yourself to those higher frequencies, you are quite literally becoming more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And to know that shit is going to come up. Like if you're doing the work of really tapping into like your most authentic self, that is you declaring to your soul, like, I am ready to heal. I am ready to feel. I am ready to really embrace my humanity at a different level.
Yeah.
And with that comes the journey of the pain, mm-hmm. of feeling into it. And I think the most liberating part of the path is when you learn to lean into your emotions.
Yeah.
And when you learn to see them as the carriers of wisdom, because that's where you actually pick up the knowledge that then allows you to experience the other side. And I know we're talking about this like high and low and negative and positive, just because it's easy for us to conceptualize and talk about with our logical minds and be able to converse about this, but it all is one.
Yeah. And
you expand your experience of the oneness both in both directions.
Right.
So I think the teachings that I'm personally really thankful of are learning how to lean into the full spectrum of the experience without defining myself by it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. What's coming to mind is maybe we can bring in the Sarah's formula for a problem, which I thought was, so simple. And so it really just automatically kind of helps you understand everything we're talking about, which is, so for a quick context again, Sarah Zula, Nikki has worked with her extensively. She came into the Oasis to do a workshop. She's an incredible subconscious freedom coach and teacher and all the things. And she taught us this formula for what a problem is. And it's basically three elements, which is a circumstance, an observer, and a judgment. And the thing that makes it a problem is the judgment, because if without that, it's just a circumstance and observer. It's just a happening, right? It's just is. And the second you add the judgment, which could be the resistance or the story or whatever, that's when it turns into something that we would say, this is a problem I need to get rid of, right? Because problems mm-hmm. are things that we view as, you know, oh, I need to work through this, or this is an obstacle to my life. And what's so powerful about just understanding the role of that judgment is that's what turns it from just life with a capital L happening in all of its beauty to, oh fuck, oh, I got this thing going on, and oh my God, this is so annoying. And that is all just provided by your judgment of it. There's nothing inherently happening other than the circumstance and the fact that you're observing it. It's all about the lens that you apply to it. Maybe you can like keep explaining that idea and how she helped us work through it.
Yeah, that was exactly it. I mean, it's more simple than I think people tend to make subconscious work, like even these little formulas and stuff, they are that simple. But I mean, you explained it perfectly. If you can think about, to anyone listening and you're like, okay, I want to apply this in my own life, think about something you would label as a problem in your life and begin to just notice the circumstance and begin to notice how you feel about it and begin to notice just what that actual occurrence is. Just at face value and see it as neutral. And then start to bring in the judgment aspect of it. What is the story that you're telling yourself about this circumstance or this feeling or this situation? And the judgment is what's highlighting the subconscious perspective. Because if you think about your subconscious, it's the lens, like how Bella just said, to which you see your reality. So we create problems by seeing reality through the lens of a specific storyline. And you'll start to notice that every problem you have can actually be dissolved by dissolving the judgment. And you can dive into the judgment and start to kind of self-analyze if you do want to take it that far. And there were some powerful questions that we went through in the workshop And you can just start to reflect, okay, what is the circumstance? What is the problem? And as you're writing that down, remember that it's just a perception and it can change. And then the next question she was asking is, what are you making it mean about yourself, your life, or the world? And this is kind of highlighting the judgment aspect of it.
Mm.
So that's just another way to put that. What are you making this mean about yourself, your life, or the world? And this is where you'll start to get tapped into the story you're telling yourself about that. So if we reflect this, connect this into what we're talking about with emotions, let's say the circumstance is you're feeling anxious. And then the feeling with that is like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overwhelmed because I'm not feeling good. That's the judgment. And that's what's making it a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to dive into what am I making this mean about myself or my life or the world, maybe you can start to see that you're defining the experience of anxiety by you being less powerful, or I'm not tapped into my work, or mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this to the best of my abilities. And you'll start to see the story that you have around feeling anxiety as a disempowering one. And we went deeper into this and we started to dissolve the problem by asking, if this was happening for you, where is the opportunity for growth?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you start to actually spin the judgment into something more empowering and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the problem actually starts to neutralize.
Right, like you're not resisting it. Instead of it
going, right. So, for example, if someone was experiencing anxiety and they were making it mean that they're not feeling powerful and this is going to fail and they're not going to excel at whatever it is they're doing that day, it's like, where's the opportunity to shift the perspective? And where's the opportunity for growth? And it maybe in that instance, it would be looking at that quote unquote problem and saying, maybe I'm being asked to just be present with this and to actually not do anything and to change the way that I relate to this energy. And maybe there's an opportunity for growth with learning how to actually create non-attachment to my emotions or a healthy tendency. Like, every single experience we have is there to help us grow and expand. And if you choose to see it that way, it doesn't become a problem. It's an opportunity.
Mm.
And then she went on to guide us through other prompts where we connected to a version of ourselves that had already gone through that experience. And how would they describe it? Because usually if you can connect to that future version of yourself, you'll see that, oh, they already know that it's a positive thing and that it was an opportunity, and you can tap into that higher perspective from there. And then the last part of this was, what are some actions that reflect that opportunity for growth? So like, how can you then go live this new perspective?
Right.
Which is something that is really powerful in subconscious work when you're having awareness towards something and you're wanting to shift or rewire a perspective. It's like, okay, now go act on it. Mm-hmm. Like, go show up as that person. So maybe in that instance, back to the person experiencing anxiety, maybe the action would be just sitting there and like not picking up your phone and just literally holding yourself and like not doing anything. Like, don't try and change it. Don't try and transmute it. Like, my action is going to be just to be with it and see if I can just experience this moment of like non-judgment towards that emotion and see if I can change the narrative of like, ooh, do I have to believe that I'm less powerful for being with this energy, or just is it an experience that's here and it just is?
Right.
So really powerful practice. I was actually curious like what you thought of it, because we didn't get to connect after. What stood out for you with that dissolving of problems?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it because it was so, like we said, it was so simple, but so powerful and so actionable, which I always can appreciate, of just where it gives me an immediate shift in perspective and an immediate kind of like tangible, what does this look like to live from this place? And it was cool to just, the framework really helps you, it really helps you to then take actions that are so much more intentional and powerful Because sometimes in, you know, the just like the when you're not, it showed me the importance of, or reminded me of the importance of connecting to the like higher self idea of like, what would you do if this was an opportunity, or like, what would the person who is free of this do? Like that type of idea kind of gives a breath of fresh air to the way that you're going to manifest this thing into your life and the way that you're going to take action toward it. So I thought that was really cool. And I just felt so, just like trusting with that, like it already felt like I had healed and sort of reconfigured this problem in my life. And it felt so much more, just, it just was less of a problem basically, even though it was like this circumstance is still there and I'm still observing it, the judgment changes on it. And that in and of itself created a lot of room and a lot of almost like new ideas of the version of me that I want to tap into that is going to be the new observer of this circumstance. And yeah, it was just so both tangible, and the mindset shift part of it, if you will, was so profound yet simple. And when there's really, when it's simple, I think that's what helps you to actually keep integrating it and like do it again for a different problem in your life. So I just thought it was very cool, and it really kind of started a ripple effect of like seeing how to fix, you know, how to shift the view on different circumstances in life.
Yeah, the simplicity, I agree. Like when you just have that simple breakdown of something, and then like the tangibility, is that a word? Of like really integrating it. I think that last part is so powerful, because then you take that energy and you do something with it. And yeah, I agree on all fronts of what you're saying. I found it really, really powerful, and something that you can keep in your toolbox for when you're wanting to shift something really quickly. And that's where your journey goes to a whole new level, is like when you pick up these tendencies and these little practices that you can integrate in your own life that are super simple, super tangible, and you have them in your back pocket. So now even you guys listening to this, like really just know that every time you're feeling like something's a problem, there's an opportunity to neutralize it and to really bring in more of a Zen way of feeling and being with that experience. And I think what's so paradoxical in a way is because here's the thing, when you are defining yourself through the lens of something being a problem, let's say, for example, you're feeling off and anxious, and then all of a sudden you start labeling that and judging it as something bad. And then every action you're taking is through that energy of like, I am not powerful. And then reality starts to reflect that whole narrative.
Right.
Which, again, is not bad. It just is. But this whole process of sitting there and shifting out of the problem and thinking from that higher state of awareness and accessing a more neutral story actually allows you to shift your energetic state. And then you take action from a more neutral place or an empowered place. And let me explain this with an example, if this is still confusing. To the example of the person feeling anxious, I can speak from personal experience. I think the reason why I would spend a lot of time almost like not stepping into the place of just like observing and being with it and not attaching to it, and I found myself attaching to all of the emotion, is because I would define the judgment that I had towards that was like, this is bad. And then I would go on and live life through, well, I'm not like, I am bad, and I might as well just do a bunch of things that are in alignment with like being in this bad state.
Right.
And it was like this very, I'll say self-sabotage, but that really was an underlying self-protection mechanism. And when you go and you separate yourself from, wait, this isn't a problem, it just is.
Yes.
You neutralize the feelings around it, and then you get to show up as just like how you want to show up.
Right.
Like whatever you want to do comes from a place of like that experience being totally okay.
Yes.
Is this landing what I'm saying?
No, it makes total sense, because it's removing the label from it. And a lot of times the label and the identification of being like, I feel shitty, makes it so that then you like literally do things to perpetuate the feeling shittiness.
Yes.
So it's interesting because it's like, well, if I just accept my feelings, then like how do I like transmute them, or how do I not just like wallow in life? And it's like the whole point is you're completely removing the idea that like you are in this state that is like a problem and is bad, and you're just
right
fucking living and experiencing, and there is a happening in front of you or in you, and you move through it. And because you're bringing this higher consciousness of like, I am still me, I am still whole, I am still like whatever it is, right? Or even like you can make it more specific of, you know, I'm a creative entrepreneur and I'm working on this project right now in my life. And so just because I'm having an off, quote unquote, off day doesn't mean now suddenly I can't be the creative entrepreneur that I am. It's like that right. type of processing where you're at least removing the labeling of that thing. So you're not identifying it, because there's like a trippy way to actually, like what you're saying of being like, oh, I just feel shitty, so I'm just gonna like do this thing. But that's actually even more identifying with the idea of feeling shitty than a step above being like, there is no shitty, there is just me yes. right now, and I'm just like right. going through this thing. And then that's how I think you actually more powerfully transmute it or shift through it, or like learn the lesson, the wisdom from it.
It's like the analogy that I feel like I shared a long time ago on my TikTok, and a lot of people liked this, of flowing down a river versus trying to fight the current.
Yes.
Like your emotions are there to help you on your path, and when you are resisting feeling them, or maybe the flip side, whatever it is, whatever the flip side of not being present with it is, you're trying to like push yourself up the river and fight the experience.
Yeah.
When all you have to do is just turn around,
go with
the freaking rose in the boat and let it take you.
Yeah.
And it's bringing in these teachings of surrender into the emotional experience of life.
Totally.
And I feel like you can't really unlock the superhuman potentials that we have until you master being a human.
Yeah.
Like until you have gotten down the embrace of just your full humanity and your humanness.
Totally.
And when I'm saying humanness, I'm meaning like the messiness of being a human. You can't bypass all of the humanness and then think that you're going to be able to access like your full potential and like reaching your goals and being on your soul's path. Like that journey is embracing every freaking part of yourself and bringing in love to all of those angles of self. And this conversation is super healing for me right now, because I definitely was catching myself like thinking more negatively about not feeling like tapped in or tuned in. And then I'm like, wait, this is actually an opportunity and an experience that's here for me. And I get to just sink into it with love and acceptance and compassion. And you feel almost like, I walked through one of my clients in a meditation the other day, and I loved this visual that came through as I was speaking. And I'm like, oh, where'd that come from? But I'm going to say it here. It's almost like a visual of you feel an energy in your body, and you can imagine that there's like arms in your chest, and they begin to just like open up and embrace what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And with that, like your heart opens and the love comes out. And you can imagine that there's like this being within you that has arms, and it just is fully hugging and embracing the emotion and being with it. And with that comes light and love and presence. And the second that you are present with an emotion, you are sending love to it. And it's just such a beautiful experience to note that when you're feeling off or not feeling tapped in or whatever it is you want to label it as, there's a place that is wanting love and presence within you. And even today and yesterday, I was like, okay, this is just like an even deeper level of softening that I get to lean into and to see it as that too. Like it's a constant softening and softening and just like releasing and letting go, and it is what it is, and that's it.
Yes. That's so beautiful. As you were saying that, I remembered this really beautiful quote, if I can read it. It fits
read
very
it.
Nicely.
I want to hear some of these Zen quotes. I'm very intrigued by this book.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. So the book, by the way, again, is The Way of Zen by Alan Watts. Incredible. If you're usually when I recommend people an order of what books to read by Alan Watts, I always recommend the book first. It's the orange one, because it's basically the entryway of like, A, his style of writing and speaking and explaining Zen through a Western lens. But you could also just skip into The Way of Zen. But this is going to be like fully about Zen, a little bit of its history, where it's come from, where it comes from. The book also gives you a lot of these teachings. Anyway, so this is from The Way of Zen, and he's talking about explaining this very core belief that actually comes from Mahayana Buddhism, which is like where Zen trickled out of. So it says, the Mahayana does, however, have another term for reality, which is perhaps rather more indicative of the void. This is the word tathata, which we may translate as suchness, thusness, or thatness. Similarly, the Buddhas are called tathagatas, they who go or come. Thus, the Sanskrit word tat is probably based on a child's first efforts at speech, when it points at something and says ta or da. Fathers flatter themselves by imagining that the child is calling them by name dada or daddy. But perhaps the child is just expressing its recognition of the world and saying that. When we say that or thus, we are pointing to the realm of nonverbal experience, to reality as we perceive it directly, for we are trying to indicate what we see or feel rather than what we think or say. Tathata therefore indicates the world just as it is, unscreened and undivided by the symbols and definitions of thought. It points to the concrete and actual as distinct from the abstract and conceptual. A Buddha is a tathagata, a thus-goer, because he is awakened to the primary non-conceptual world, which no words can convey, and does not confuse it with such ideas as beginning, as being or non-being, good or bad, past or future, here or there, moving or still, permanent or impermanent.
Wow. Wait, that's so interesting about the baby's first words.
Yeah, isn't that
funny? So they're not saying dad.
I know, right? I think they're just pointing out reality.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And this
What's your like interpretation of that quote or line?
Yeah, I mean, I just see it as like that reminder of what you're experiencing is just what reality is as it is, pre-judgment, pre-label, pre, you know, cognitive logical mind being like, that is a mesquite tree. Like, you're just seeing fucking existence and consciousness in so many forms. And it's like, there's a fun exercise that if you just like go to a park or go to, you know, like I always think of in Austin, there's Barton Springs, and it's this beautiful natural pool that people go to outside, and there's people and swimming and trees. You can just sit there in that park and just try to like observe reality without labeling it. And it's practically impossible because that's how we function and interpret things. But to just like try to look at it as if it is pure without a label. And this is where the blade of grass thing comes in that I used to always joke about, where you would like just look at a blade of grass and realize that the entire universe is within that. And you're seeing it as not something as boring as a blade of grass, but as another iteration of consciousness and oneness. So it just, I think, speaks to seeing things more often as through the suchness and like this impossible thing that we are trying to distill down.
As you're talking, I'm like looking at the trees outside and I'm like, okay, let me look at a leaf and not label it as a leaf. And then I'm like thinking about it in form of like universe as a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking it's not actually a leaf. It's just matter is forming in that specific way.
Right.
In that area. And then as the wind hits it, it like moves. So I'm like, yeah, you could say the same leaf is moving up and down, but you can also see it as an experience of consciousness, almost like breathing.
Yeah.
Like the oneness breathing. And it's like creating this sensation of a leaf, but it's
yes.
I can't explain what I'm trying to say.
No, I know exactly what you're trying to say. I can't explain
what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so
there's
beautiful.
No words.
Yeah, truly. I'm just seeing if there's any other good little excerpts here. Oh, this is really beautiful. You'll like this a lot. This is part of the book is like trying to explain what Zen is, which is like a paradox in and of itself. So he says, "This is not a philosophy of not looking where one is going. It is a philosophy of not making where one is going so much more important than where one is that there will be no point in going. The life of Zen begins, therefore, in a disillusion with the pursuit of goals which do not really exist, the good without the bad, the gratification of a self which is no more than an idea, and the morrow which never comes. For all these things are a deception of symbols pretending to be realities, and to seek after them is like walking straight into a wall, which some painter has, by the convention of perspective, suggested an open passage. In short, Zen begins at the point where there is nothing further to seek, nothing to be gained. Zen is most emphatically not to be regarded as a system of self-improvement or a way of becoming a Buddha. In the words of Lin Chi, if a man seeks the Buddha, that man loses the Buddha."
The searching.
Yeah. His way of writing. His way of writing too is so like, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it resonates deeply.
Yeah.
I'm actually really pulled to buy that book, but that hit.
Yeah. It's just so beautiful. I feel like it's a foundation. It's like, it's just I think it then lets you do everything else in life that you seek or desire, the goals you have, just from this like the very core of you is like, we're just here, we're just now,
right?
And now let's do whatever the fuck we want with this now moment type of thing.
Yes, wait, that's exactly how I feel, because I first got into spirituality by learning about manifestation. I feel like it's like the gateway drug of spirituality for a lot of people, because it connects to the material world and your ego loves like getting new things. And then I was brought down this whole path of disconnecting from manifestation and really going into like learning how to live presently and learning how to like access those innate feelings of just like wholeness by just being with the now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that I was brought down that path first and then that one, but it's almost like my soul was like, no, you can't go into the path of like learning how to call things in and attract without actually learning how to be present, because one cannot exist without the other.
Right.
And if you're using manifestation to constantly escape the present moment, you're going to be on a hamster wheel and it will probably feel very difficult to actually attract those things to you. But like a part of the journey of attracting your highest timeline and to like step into that reality is by learning how to like live fully in the now.
Right.
And I was brought down this whole path of like learning about how to disconnect from the future while also being able to like maintain your vision and goals. And it brought me into these like teachings of learning how to like bring that into your now, like embody that in your now. And the teachings of like learning how to live in the present moment change everything. They like make everything make sense.
Yeah. And I really, I'm kind of just seeing how, like, when you are someone who has, anyone listening to this, the two of us, if you're listening to this, it's very likely that you have both this vision that has not yet collapsed into form into your current reality, and you also have this, this ability and this knowing of the beauty of the present moment. So what I'm realizing is I think our visions, once we decide that we are capable of bringing them into form, the process and the excitement of when you do something that is so exciting to you, that brings you into the present moment. So it's like in my personal experience, the process of working towards something that I am so excited about, that is a part of my future vision, but also is something I get to do right now, that brings me into right now. And because it's guided by my excitement, it is ineffably tied to the present moment. And so it's making the step that I'm on now exciting while the future one is still exciting. So it's like, it has me being present because I love the process and I want to be in it and like creating something. And I'm also enjoying the path to the future one, which ultimately the future does not exist because it's just going to be a later now. So by making the now fueled by excitement and passion of like creativity, etc., it like puts me into the present because I have to be here in order to be in flow with it. And that's how I know I'm going to enjoy the shit out of the future one too, because I'm enjoying the process of itself now.
I was going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth with flow state. Like, you can't really achieve that big vision without being in the present moment, because that's how you access the flow state.
Mm-hmm.
So that big picture that you have is just you building up multiple segments of being in the now and tapping into flow state.
Right.
And we access more of the flow state the more we detach from the future. But also, like, I find that having that vision is such an important part of the path.
Totally. Yes.
Because it's your goalpost. It's what allows you to know, okay, this is my goal, this is my vision. And this is where it can become almost a little bit controversial with these Zen teachings and Eckhart Tolle. Like, you take what resonates with you and you can leave the rest, and you can integrate in one way and integrate your own way of being in a different way of in your life. And I find that with like goal setting and achieving your dreams, sometimes these teachings will make you feel like you shouldn't have goals.
Mm.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I know with Michael Singer, his whole life is him surrendering into life and just saying yes to everything that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being a freaking like millionaire running his own tech company.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he didn't think about any of it. Like, he just let life unravel and he kept saying yes. And there's a whole book called The Surrender Experiment where he literally brings you through his entire journey.
Wow.
And it's fucking crazy. Like, he manifests so much in his life just by living in the now, but he doesn't have any goals or any like vision of what he was creating. He just let life unravel in a way that was, it was full on surrender.
Wow.
And I find that when you tune into your heart, you'll feel that there's a vision there and there's goals, and we're all here planted with the, we have these visions planted in our heart for a very specific reason. And I choose to believe that you can use those goals and those visions as the goalpost of where you're meant to dive into your flow state, where you're meant to like,
yes,
tap into a higher state of being.
Totally.
And I don't think that's neither wrong nor right. Again, it just is. And then you'll find other teachers who are like, no, don't think about anything but the present moment, and don't even think about the future, and don't even think about goals. And there's also like a time and place to integrate that. So
yeah,
all these spiritual teachings, like, you use your own discernment to know like when something feels good and like when it doesn't feel good, and you apply it to your life when it feels good, and then you apply other teachings to your life when it feels good there. And I think that has also been an important part of my journey of like learning when to like trust my own guidance of like when something feels right to me versus maybe leaning into like just being in the present moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they actually negate any of that. I think it's just like,
I think Michael Singer definitely does. If you were to read his surrender experiment, you would be like, okay, this guy like is all about like not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
well, the thing is, like, ultimately, he's not wrong, because the best, most aligned, I think, opportunities and things tend to happen. Well, anything that happens is happening in the fucking present moment, which is why, like, duh, like, it's correct. But to take it a step further, because there is obviously sometimes it feels like a contradicting perspective of like present, enjoy the now, surrender, not trying to control, but then also like having goals and trying to like do things with your life, if you will. But I feel like it's not that these philosophies per se are like asking you to, okay, this is what it is. There's a middle way, because yes, there's literally the life of a monk or like a, you know, whatever, let's just call it like a Zen master or something for now, that would like go to a monastery and literally sit and meditate all day. And that is their life. And that is their awakening journey. And they're not in our like capitalistic Western world, so to speak, where they're like going to a job in the way that we view it. And they're work in this life, so to speak, is to just be in, that's just their path, right? So I feel like the thing is, everyone is on a certain path, and whether it's the monk who's going to meditate under a tree for 12 hours a day, or is young women who want to have an impact. And because we, you know, I don't know, we could be wrong about this, but it's like, if we feel like we're tapped into our heart and the visions we have are a divine gift, then we are brought into the present moment and into our divinity by following that and working on it. And I think ultimately that's where it's the middle way comes through, is the middle way is to integrate these teachings and to always see how you can be present and be in the now and see life as it is, and then inject that into the things that you feel called to. And that's it. Like, it's like kind of, I guess you would call it the middle way, because it sounds like the surrender experiment is the more, I guess, what we would view as the extreme of like rescinding all of the, any idea of something that is not literally in front of you, which ultimately does have a lot of truth to it and is like probably the closest you can get to the living the teaching. But at the end of the day, we know, like, our human experience, at least in this lifetime, is we've been put into bodies and souls that have inner vision and ideas of depictions and things that we want to do, and we have the gifts to do it. And so that's why I have that view, and I think you have the same, of like, ultimately your vision and your pursuit of it is bringing you into the present moment and is bringing you into more of who you are. The last thing I'll say is, I think you could then view it too as like, maybe our paths are going to look like, by the time we're 50, then we're sitting under the tree meditating for 10 hours a day and we're like, this is the actual enlightenment. When I was in my 20s, I was like crazed toward my vision, and ultimately it was just to be where I am. But like, you know what I'm saying?
That would be our journey. Yeah.
That would be our journey. Exactly. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's all part of the journey. And I think like I always wonder, like, if you were to ask the Dalai Lama, like, the Dalai Lama still has appointments and things that he goes to and things that he like does to be of service. And he's like, you know, the chosen enlightened one. And you still, you know, the monks in the monasteries still take turns doing chores and cleaning and doing all the things. So it's like, I think everyone's path is just different, and you will be drawn and called toward the thing that is going to meet, help you meet who you really are. And yeah, this is our version.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea of it being like kind of a spectrum of like, you're going to have people down here and people down here. And I thoroughly believe that too. Like, all souls come here to experience different forms of reality and different types of lifestyles. And I think that's what I was getting at with like, pick what resonates with you and leave the rest, because what resonates with your soul is a part of what's here to help you. And I think living in the present moment is a fundamental part of completing your soul's mission. Like, totally. It's all about living in the now. And that's what's going to get you to that end point, quote unquote. Did you have anything else that you wanted to touch on with this?
No, I'm the only thing that's coming to mind is I just think this is such a valuable conversation and thing to ponder, because of something you said earlier about, you know, when people get really pulled into manifestation, law of attraction and ascension and all these great things, that sometimes it results in the judgment of something that is actually not a problem. And so I love this, because I always try to, you know, push and remind myself to continue on that journey of non-judgment and acceptance, and just not ever placing myself on a pedestal, that thinking that I'm going to be at some point, or I am better than this thing. And I don't do that, because that's not high vibe. And I think that is a slippery slope that sometimes actually detaches people from their very human element of this life. And I think, it's a great way to sort of just reconfigure the pieces and to be like, actually, like, there is so much divinity and, you know, I don't know why the word godliness is coming to me, but like, yeah, wholeness, just in wholeness and holiness in all of it, because all of it is ultimately the one, you know, great creator being thing that we are all connected to. So I think it's just like a beautiful thing to always be pondering, so we don't accidentally and inadvertently put ourselves on this pedestal that's kind of pushing us away from what it's all about.
Right. The oneness. Amen to all of that. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, leave a comment, leave a review, hit that subscribe button. And if you're interested in joining our community, we are welcoming you with open arms. We are so excited to see new members roll in, and we're just having so much fun connecting in deeper ways. Mm-hmm. And truly, like, it is so warming when you join this community, like seeing the new members roll in and just like the warmth that other people are emitting out into those messages, and the newbies that are coming in. Like, you will have a community right away of people holding you through this path, and the workshops are super, super expansive. Like, you will heal in this container, and you will expand, no doubt.
So powerful.
So if you're looking for that community, that group, we're here. This is your sign. Head to the link in our bio to sign up. It's only $25 a month. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening, and we love you.
Bye.